Lord, we thank you that you call us to be brave, that you call us into places that we might feel uncomfortable, or we might feel out of our depth. But you call us where you are. You go before us. You go with us. You support us from behind. And we know that this is your calling on our lives, that you call us to go and tell people about you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm going to get anybody who's going to come and join me down here. So I think I might just do stuff from here. Now, there should be a PowerPoint at some point. No. It might be under talk. Is it there? Is it not? All right, whilst Mandy's sorting out where it is. Oh, what a brilliant morning. This is really good. Now, I'm going to give you a word. It's a three-letter word. B-O-W. Bow or bow? What does it actually mean? Somebody tell me what it means, what you think it means. Put your hand up if you think you know what B-O-W means. Someone describe it to me. Oh, we've got a teacher here. Oh, she's bowing. Oh, maybe like an actor who gives a bow at the end of a thing. Were you thinking of something different? A bow and arrow. So a bow that you might pull back and fire an arrow from. Right, so that's two things. Same. They're not the same, though, aren't they? They're completely different. Have you got another one? Excellent. A bow in a violin. That's, I hadn't thought of that one. That's three. Excellent. Let's keep going. Paula? A bow in your hair. A nice pink bow, maybe. Has anybody got a pink bow over here? I think one of the girls over here has got a pink bow. What do you reckon, Mark? It is the bow of a boat. Have you ever done the Titanic moment? You have. Excellent. Not just me, then. That's good. Yes, so there's a bow of a boat. There's a bow with an archer, a bow that a musician might use. There's a bow in your hair, and there's a bow, as in a bow. It's five different things. It's the same word. It's the same three letters, but it's got five different meanings. Oh, there we go. There is a bow on the screen, or a bow, depending on which way you look at it. The reason I wanted to just bring this up right at the beginning is because often words that we use, there are different meanings to them. And I want to bring you a reading from Deuteronomy. And this is from Deuteronomy 10. So this is the first, this is the fifth book of the Bible. And it says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" And I'll put some numbers in there. One is, "But to fear the Lord your God." Two, "to walk in all of his ways." Three, "to love him." And four, "to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Now, the thing about the word fear, who thinks they can describe what the word fear is? Who can tell me what fear means? Anyone? Have you got a hand up? Well done, Lawrence. What does fear mean? It means you're scared. Yes. Anything else? That's what you were going to say. Excellent. And frightened. Lawrence is on a roll. Anybody else? Scared and frightened. What might happen when you're frightened? What might you do? Freeze? Yeah. Anything else? What might you do? Lawrence is doing so well. What did you say, Lawrence? Sorry, I can't hear you. You freeze. You might shake. You might get really, really worried. Your legs might start trembling. Now, the word fear, as it's used here, is not that fear. It's a different fear. And the thing is, what happens is if we start with the word fear as we know it in our language, it totally changes what happens next. And there's a reason for this, because we're going to look at what Jesus is talking about, yeah, in his story. So if we fear the Lord our God with trembling, if we fear him with panic that he might be coming to punish us, that he might be angry with us, that the way in which we walk with him, the way in which we walk in his ways, is we cower. And we're really, really scared as we walk. When it says that we are to love him, what happens is we're almost loving him because we know he needs to be loved. And we know he's calling on it. And I do love you, Lord. I promise I love you. I know I've got to love you. And then when we serve him, we're doing the bow thing. We're serving him because we're required to. Lord, I want to be your servant. Whatever it is that you ask, whatever you want me to do. Because it comes out of fear. Now, if we take the meaning of the Hebrew word here to fear, it's one of awe and wonder. Now, who has ever been in awe and wonder? Who has ever seen something that is really, really big or mighty or amazing, like a big building? You stand in front of it and you go, wow, that is amazing. Yeah, when we get into the word fear, as it says here, it's a different type of thing. It's an awe, it's a wonder. It was used at the beginning of the service. There's this word, reverence. It took me a while to work out what reverence means. But it means respect. It means giving honor. And when we come to God in awe and wonder and reverence and respect and honor, the way we walk is we walk with our shoulders back, with our head up, because that's the God that I know, and I'm told to walk in all of his ways. So I'm going to walk with my shoulders back and my head up. I'm going to love him. Why? Because he's amazing. Because the God that I see, I want to tell everybody about him. And to serve him. Why do I serve him? Because why would I not? And what do I serve him with? All of this. My heart, my soul, I can't not serve him. You see, the words that we use right at the beginning can affect what happens next. And today, that's what we're talking about in the story that Jesus has. The Pharisees, they love God. They serve God. They appreciate God. But there's something missing at the beginning, something that they haven't quite got the grasp of. And that's what we're going to look at in the story that Jesus told about the sheep. So, Jesus is standing with the people that he's with, and they are people of, they're not nice people. They're not doing good. They're people that you would expect to have a wide berth around, to walk away from. And the Pharisees are questioning, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you with these people? We don't get it. We don't understand. So he tells a story. And I love the fact that Jesus tells a story because they're really simple. And they stick in your mind, but they work like a sledgehammer. Yeah. And these people were listening to this story about the sheep, and it wouldn't have made sense. To leave 99... to go after the one. That's silly, isn't it? Why would you do that? Why is Jesus saying this? To leave the 99 and go after the one. And not only that, when he finishes, he says, this is what it's like in heaven. What? To go after the one and leave the 99? Now, I know from our perspective, one's gone missing. Cut your loss. Focus on the 99. You never know. They might have more sheep. And you'd be back up to 100. Why go after the one? It seems like it's the completely opposite thing. And I'm pretty sure the Pharisees would have been thinking this themselves. I don't get what he's saying. So what Jesus does is he changes tact. And he says something different. He starts talking about money. And money is one of those things that when people start talking about money, everybody goes, ooh, hang on, yep, got that. Now, we had some silver coins. How much were your silver coins? You had 10 of them, didn't you? What was your silver coin? You don't know. It was the largest silver coin we have in our currency. What's that? 50p. So there were 10 50p's. It's a maths question. How much money did she have? £5. Excellent. Well done. Well done, adults. She had £5. That is not what it equates to in today's money. Yeah, a silver coin at that time was a denarii. Is that right, Bimby? Excellent. And that 50p, that silver coin, was actually worth more like £100. Now, has anybody here ever lost £100? No? Excellent. If you do, you're going to look for it. You're going to hunt high and low. Why? Because that's precious. Because it's important. And I'm going to keep looking until I find it. Now, the Pharisees are probably thinking, right, I get that one. Something precious. But Jesus has just talked about the one and going after them. You see, when we actually start our journey, if we start with the idea that actually I'm not precious, I'm not important, I'm trying to be important, then what happens is that everything that comes after that becomes different. You see, what Jesus was trying to say to the Pharisees is that when God looks at his creation, when he looks at you and me, when he looks at everyone, he sees them as precious and worthy of going to find. So whether we're broken, whether we've got things wrong, whether we've turned away, he says, I want to come and find you. And although Jesus is talking about the farmer going and finding his sheep, he's actually talking about what God was sending him to do, which was to come and find his people and to call them back. Now, getting in the right step with God, starting off in the right way, is really important. If we build on foundations that aren't right, then it becomes difficult. Now, some of you might have come here today thinking, I've messed up, I've got things wrong, and I need to sort myself out with God. Today's story says this, if that's you. It says, God has made you right. God calls you back wherever you are. Or if, like others of us, you're like a Pharisee, trying to work for God, trying to do everything that you can to almost make yourself and what you are and who you are acceptable. God says, actually, you are acceptable. I want your actions and your work to come out of my love, not out of you trying to make yourself better with me. Because you see, God's economy, God's way of working is different to ours. He looks at us and he says, yes, you might be broken. You might need restoring, but that's what I'm going to do. Now, our first steps when we take out need to be in the right place. We need to understand how God sees us first and foremost. That he does see us as people that are worthy of being restored. And one of our other readings today was from Paul, and it was the beginning of one of his letters. And he stands, it's almost as if he's standing talking to a church, and he says, this is me. I'm broken. I've been lost. I did some really, really bad things. But God restored me. And it is because of God's glory that I am here and I am proclaiming who Christ is. You know, when we start from the place of knowing who we are in God, then he takes us further on. Do we really know who we are in God's love? Now, there's a phrase that's going to come up next. I don't know where this came from. I have to apologize for that. But it's something that stuck with me. Before being called to something, we're called to someone. Before being called to do, we're called to be. Now, in our youth and children's work, we work really hard on our identity and who we are as the foundations of what we're going to step into. But if we don't know who Jesus is, or we don't know what his call is on our life, then to step into the stuff that we think are going to make us better is the wrong way. Now, if you have questions about who maybe Jesus is or what your faith is, now Alpha is the place to go and find out. Alpha is not designed for those that know their Bibles. It's designed for people that want to find out what God's call is on their life and what his call is for you personally. Now, to bring this to an end, we're going to say part of our service together. We're going to put what we've just talked about into action. And often this is something that we do every week. We say the confession. But what happens is we can sometimes, I know I do this, rattle through it quite quickly. So what I've done is I've split it into three parts that relate to what Jesus was talking about today. If we can have the first bit up. Our Heavenly Father, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to work through this and then we're going to say it together and have a pause in between. With this first bit, we recognize who God is. We recognize that he loves us and he cares for us, not just because we're good, but he does that all the time. We never step away from who God is. That's the first part. The next part is that we know that we're not perfect. We've got things wrong. But he calls us back to doing things his way and stepping in time with him. And then we go on to our last slide. That only you, that's God in the form of Jesus, can save us. So please call us back. And we ask this in Jesus' name. You see, they're the three parts about coming back to God in the right way. And what we're going to do is we're going to do this as a church. I'm going to ask you to stand as we say it as a sign of honor and respect of coming close to God. And we're going to say this and we're going to pause on each bit. And then I'm going to ask Bimbi to pray for us. Bimbi's role as vicar is to stand as Jesus stood and to pray over his people. And Bimbi's going to say what's known as the absolution, which is where we're called back. So let's stand and pull this to a conclusion. So let's say together, our Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and care for us all the time. We know that this week we have not always lived the way you tell us. We have done wrong things and not done all the good things we should have done. Only you can save us. So please forgive us and help us to live as your friends. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.